The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
To the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Michael Leaves once again in for Max today on a Friday. Getting you set for the weekend. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Joining us today on the Goodyear Hotline will be senior NBA writer for The Undefeated, Mark Spears. Get into some of the things that happened last night and also some news from the NBA that broke this morning. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Rob Ninkovich will join us as well. Quarterback situation in the NFL. I have a theory on what teams should do based on where they draft their rookie quarterbacks. We'll talk to Rob about that because there are two teams in particular that are facing that very dilemma. And also in our second hour, Don McLean, former NBA player, my former partner on Clipper broadcast there in Los Angeles, he's going to join us as well because the Clippers have a chance to do something tonight they've never done, and they will have to do it without Kawhi Leonard. So what's the likelihood of that happening? Don McLean will join us a little bit later as well. But a couple of NBA notes to pass along. Then we're going to have some conversation about last night because Giannis, I'm going to leave it there. Hold on. First up, Adrian Wojnarowski reporting this morning that the Celtics are trading Kemba Walker, the number 16 overall pick in the 2021 draft, and a 2025 second-round pick to Oklahoma City for Al Horford, bringing him back to Boston, Moses Brown, and a 2023 second-round pick. Boston gets some flexibility moving off that $73 million that they owed to Kemba Walker with the return of Horford. OKC has three first-round picks in July. So what does that say about Boston's mentality with their current roster now that Brad Stevens has moved from the coach to the front office? That's a question I want to pose to Mark Spears coming up a little bit later. But also this news from the New York Times today, reported by Mark Stein, former Mavericks star Dirk Nowitzki is rejoining the organization there in Dallas as a special advisor. His first assignment at the request of Mark Cuban, assisting the team in its search for a new head of basketball operations and then coach. So there was some reporting recently about the Mavericks in terms of turmoil inside their front office, and Mark Cuban said, no, that's not true at all. We're cool. And all of a sudden, Donnie Nelson leaves, Rick Carlisle leaves, and now you got to bring in Dirk Nowitzki. What's really going on down there in Dallas? We'll talk to Mark Spears about that coming up shortly. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Giannis and the Bucks stave off elimination last night in Milwaukee to force a Game 7 against the Nets in Brooklyn tomorrow night. Giannis went for 30, 17, 3 assists. He did not shoot one single three in that game. Most of his stuff came in the paint. And we had a conversation here yesterday on ESPN Radio about whether Giannis, A, is that guy, and could he be that guy last night? So the question to you, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, or hit me on Twitter, at Michael Eaves, was Giannis that guy last night? I say no. Granted, he went for a fourth game of 30 and 10, sure, fine. But was he that guy last night? And again, my point is, we keep trying to make certain players out to be something that they are not, based on what they're paid, where they were drafted, what have you. And I think some of that clearly has been on Giannis, who's an MVP in this league, who's a defensive player of the year in this league. But that doesn't mean he's that guy in those moments, right? And last night, I don't think he was. I think he was the best Robin he could be, but he wasn't Batman. Do you know who Batman was in that game? Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton was Batman last night for the Bucks, and he probably needs to be Batman again on Saturday, if they're going to beat the Nets in Game 7. Chris Middleton recorded a postseason career high, 38 points. He added 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals. He became just the fifth player with 35 points, 10 rebounds, 5 steals, and 5 assists in a playoff game. That's Batman. And if those numbers alone don't tell you exactly the role that Chris Middleton played last night, consider this. If you remember, there was a stretch where Kevin Durant scored 10 straight points for Brooklyn during one third quarter run, and they narrowed that 14-point lead to 5. Remember that? He then sparked a 10-0 run early in the fourth quarter that again got the margin down to 5. But each time, do you know who the response came from? Chris Middleton. He either got a basket or he got to the free throw line. That's what those dudes do in those moments. And you know who recognized that? Kevin Durant.
We were down 4 a couple times, and they pushed it up. I mean, they responded after every run we made. We got to give them credit for that. But I think we were down early. We got ourselves back into the game. We were down like 12-15, and then we got back, cut it. It was 82-77. Then we fouled a 3-point shooter, and that's when they kind of took control. So I felt like we were right there. We just couldn't get over the hump.
The hump was Chris Middleton. That's what they couldn't get over. He was 11 of 16 from the floor, 11 of 12 from the free throw line. Now, Drew Holiday also added 21 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. That's great. But the guy who really stopped the runs was Chris Middleton. He was the guy that you needed in those moments. It wasn't Giannis. And that's fine. That's okay. We keep trying to put certain expectations on players based on what they make, especially in the eyes of fans, and even some of these awards they receive. But like, as I said yesterday, these players don't pay themselves. They don't vote for themselves in these postseason awards. Chris Middleton was that guy. Can he be that guy in Game 7 on the road? That is the real question. Because you know one thing about Kevin Durant coming up in Game 7. Whether James Harden is available to go again on that bad hamstring and play better, or if Kyrie Irving comes back after missing the last two games with that sprained ankle. You know one thing about KD. He's going down blazing. He's emptying all clips. All mags will be empty from Kevin Durant in Game 7. He's not about to leave that court thinking he didn't do enough to help his team win. Will we see the same performance in Game 7 we saw from him in Game 5? We don't know, but we know KD's going to try to duplicate that performance because he believes, most likely, that that's what it's going to take, especially if he doesn't have Kyrie back. And if James Harden is not able to be more like James Harden than he has been due to his injury. You know KD's going hard in that game. So can Chris Middleton be that guy on the road in Game 7? I'll say this. I don't know. Because we just haven't seen it, that consistency from Chris Middleton in this particular series. Or even last year, quite honestly, in the playoffs. But one thing you do need to see if you're the Bucks, you need Giannis on KD. You do. Now, PJ Tucker loves the challenge. He's been as good as you could probably be for a guy his size. But he's not as tall as Giannis. He's not a former Defensive Player of the Year the way Giannis is. So maybe you don't start the game on KD with Giannis. But you do have to get him there maybe late. And maybe that is enough of a maneuver that could throw KD off a little bit. Now look, KD is a premier scorer. He thinks he can score on any dude in the league at any time. So if he sees Giannis in front of him, I'm not saying he's going to be scared of that moment, fearful of Giannis being able to, you know, check him. But it will change his mentality on maybe what the moves are, right? Because he's been guarded by PJ Tucker for years, and he knows which shots are easier to get off against PJ Tucker than not. Does he know what those same moves are against Giannis? We don't know. But if I'm Mike Budenholzer, I want to find out. And I want to find out late in those games. You take a look at what Kevin Durant has done. Go back to Game 6 versus defenders. He had 16 on PJ Tucker, 7 of 15. Giannis, primary defender, he was 1 of 4. How critical could that be for the Bucks late in the game if it's tight? It's harder to shoot over another 7-footer, right? And that's pretty much what Giannis is, as is Kevin Durant. So again, Giannis doesn't have to be that dude in terms of making buckets late in games to stop runs, blah, 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 blah. Because that maybe at his core, That's not who he is. But he is a good defender. And he should be able to check the best player on the opposing team, especially if they're around the same size. We're not asking him to guard Kyrie Irving fully healthy. We're asking him to check Kevin Durant. That's the Giannis you need. That's him being that guy. That's the one you need. These expectations that he's going to go out there and drop 40 and put up all these offensive numbers and da-da-da, that's not what you necessarily need from him for your team to be its best. You do need him to stop the other guy, though. That's 1,000% true. You need Giannis to go out there on KD in Game 7 and prove that he's that guy defensively, not offensively. He needs to be that guy defensively against Kevin Durant in a Game 7 situation. And then you know what? Then them other dudes got to step up too. Then it's got to be Chris Middleton doing it again. Then it's got to be Drew Holiday, who had 21 points last night. It's got to be those dudes as well. Can they make it happen? That's the question. And if you are Mike Budenholzer, going on the road for Game 7, what do you do? What do you do? I'm going out with my best guy on the other team's best guy. Because if not, how do you not have doubt leaving that game if you lose? That's the question. Michael Leeds in for Max Kellerman today, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. That was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Joining us now on the Goodyear Heartline, my good friend, senior NBA writer for the Undefeated, Mark Spears. What's up, brother?
Man, just trying to figure out the world, man. What about you?
How's that going for you?
Struggling.
Okay, fair enough. Because, I mean, it's a lot to figure out. I get it. It's a lot to figure out. I want to get your take on kind of what we saw last night, maybe what your expectations are for tonight. But let's go back to this, some of the news we had today. Now, you used to work in Boston there for the Boston Globe, covering the Celtics and covering the NBA. What do you make of what Brad Stevens is doing now that he's become the general manager of that team, making this trade to get rid of Kemba Walker, bring Al Horford back, and free up some money for that squad?
Well, I think that the previous trade that they made, they gave up too much size. Maybe they're trying to make up for it, but man, losing Kemba, that's a lot. And perhaps he felt like the time that they were out, it wasn't the end of the world for him and they could replace him. So, I mean, you get Al Horford back. And the kid Brown, man, I know nobody's really talking about him, but you're talking about a 7'2", 7'1" kid who's got some really, really low money from NBA standards. You know, so now they get perhaps somebody you could start for several years to come with a very manageable contract. But I don't think Oklahoma City can be that place for, you know, for Kemba. But that being said, it ended up being that place for Chris Paul.
Yep.
So I'm curious to see, you know, what happens from here. But if you're Kemba, you're certainly disappointed because you signed as a free agent with them. You couldn't fathom that they would trade you, right?
Right, exactly.
After you signed there over going back home to New York and the commitment that he made to Boston, which reminds people that this is a business. So every time we want to beat up players for making decisions to go in different places, remember this. Things like this. Things like, you know, you were in L.A., Mike. Blake Griffin signing a big deal and then gets traded to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it goes both ways, and this is a reminder of that.
Meanwhile, down in Dallas, Mark Stein reporting from the New York Times that Dirk Nowitzki, at the request of Mark Cuban, is going to come on as a special advisor. What does this say about Mark Cuban in terms of the state of his front office and his organization right now that he's bringing Dirk Nowitzki back to help him at this moment in time?
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is, and it sounds good,
yeah.
But Mark Cuban always gets in the way.
Mm.
He is the owner of the team, but he basically serves as a general manager too. And I talked to a GM or two who have said, man, that would be an attractive job if Mark Cuban actually let me do my job. And so that's beautiful that Dirk gets that opportunity. That tells me that they're probably going to do things in-house, so I wouldn't be surprised if Jamal Mosley, who's already on the staff, or a former, you know, Mavs guard Jason Kidd gets the coaching job, I'd like to see Michael Finley get promoted to GM. But what does that really mean?
Right?
You got you got another guy down the street with the Cowboys who certainly has a power, and some may suggest that Cuban wields his power even stronger in terms of the decision. So that's the thing. I mean, it looks good on paper, but what does it mean in reality?
Mark Spears, senior NBA writer for ESPN's The Undefeated, joining us here on the Max Kellerman Show. You can hit Mark on Twitter at Mark J. Spears, not to be confused with Marcus Spears, but you guys do it all the time.
No, don't confuse me. That's my cousin, though. But
well, I don't know. It's well, never mind. People hear what they want to hear. I get it. Said yesterday, Mark, that too often fans and probably even the media, we put too much expectation on certain players simply because of where teams drafted them or which teams gave them like huge contracts. And I was using Giannis and Ben Simmons for different reasons as an example of that. We want them to be something maybe they're not and maybe we shouldn't expect them to be. Last night, Giannis played well, but it was really Chris Middleton, in my estimation, who was that guy for the Bucks last night. The question going forward, if the Bucks are going to beat the Nets in Brooklyn on Game 7, who has to be that guy for Milwaukee? Is it Giannis in that moment, or is Chris Middleton their best option, especially offensively?
I think they got to do what they did last night. It's a big three. It's a collective three. But Middleton, Mike, we know what he's going to be. He does it with no fanfare. One of the most underrated stars the NBA has seen. We could pencil him in, right?
Yeah.
I think the thing with Giannis is, and I saw it in the bubble, if you remember the game where he hurt his ankle, I think that was a game 4, and he had an ankle injury. But he had like 19 points in 11 minutes because he went inside.
Right.
Giannis was dominant yesterday because all his shots averaged like 5 feet. To me, that's where his best game is. I know that the three-point shot is attractive. I know it's attractive for him to drive from the wing. But the man is like, you know, they had a big guy named Kareem Abdul-Jabbar who destroyed it from inside the post. Proved Kareem wrong, that he said you guys can't do it by doing what Kareem did, dominating the post. So to me, if the Bucks are going to be their best, it's with Giannis in the post and not him on the perimeter.
Mark Spears, NBA senior writer for The Undefeated, joining us here on the Max Kellerman Show. Michael Leaves in for Max Day, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Who's under more pressure to win on the road tonight in Game 6, the Sixers or the Jazz?
Wow. Mike, I'm gonna go with the Jazz.
Really?
I'm going to go with the Jazz. Yeah, because I just think the Sixers will figure it out.
Oh, so you think the Sixers will win is what you're saying?
Yes.
But that doesn't mean they're not under more pressure to win, though. Especially with the Jazz, if they have injury questions with Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell.
But I think the expectations are higher for the Jazz than they are for the Sixers team.
In this series, though?
That's why. I think they're expected to be in the finals. I never thought the Sixers would be in the finals.
Yeah, but you didn't think they'd lose to the Hawks.
Maybe I'm thinking of a bigger view.
Okay.
But the problem with the Sixers is they played too many games with this team. They haven't respected the Hawks.
Mm.
It is clear to me that if the Sixers play Sixers basketball, they are the better team and they should win. They've blown two games in this series. So to me, the pressure is them living up to their ability to be a great team. So I don't think there are any pressure. I think the problem is they've just been underwhelming instead of overwhelming. They've been disappointing in the clutch. But if they play how they're supposed to play, they're the better team. They should win. I can't say that the Clippers are Jazz are the better team. And I know both environments are going to be crazy. But you know and I know, especially from your time with the Clippers, that it's going to be people in that arena tonight either crying of joy or crying of pain. You know,
no,
they're
0-8
in this situation.
Yeah.
It's going to be maybe we're not making enough of it, but I think it's going to be a very emotional game for the Clippers. I think the Jazz just have some injury stuff. That's why I think they have more pressure, because they have more problems. The Sixers, they're supposed to win. They're right. The better team. So if they lose, I think if they play how they're supposed to play, they'll win. The Jazz could play the best of their ability, and their injuries they don't have much margin of error because of their injuries.
Mark Spears from the Undefeated. Be sure to follow him on Twitter at Mark J. Spears, and also read his coverage on the Undefeated.
We're both right, Mike? Can we both be right?
No, we cannot. No. It's totally the Sixers. They've had leads they've blown. They shouldn't even be in this situation. The series should be over.
No.
And Doc Rivers is catching hell in Philly, as is Ben Simmons. Nah, the Sixers are definitely under more pressure tonight. There's no question about that. No question. And I'll explain more of that as this show continues. By the way, Mark Spears.
It's your show today. I'm going to let you win.
Thank you, brother. Mark just posted a story on the Undefeated about Mike Brown, former NBA coach, preparing to make Olympic history with the Nigerian national team. No African country has ever medaled in the Olympic Games in men's basketball or even qualified past the preliminary stage. Make sure you go to Undefeated right now and read the latest coverage from Mark Spears. Appreciate you, brother. Have fun tonight.
All right, bro. Always a pleasure.
All right, Mark Spears joining us here in Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Coming up, we're going to get more into which team was under the most pressure in last night's Game 6. But Giannis was in the zone last night versus the Nets. In the zone, brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. But who's going to be in the zone tomorrow night for the Nets? And also, Sixers, Jazz on the road, Game 6. Which team is really facing the most pressure? I think it's obvious. We'll take your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Hey, if you're a business owner who's hiring, it can feel like trying to find a needle in a haystack. But when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, their matching technology finds these qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So while other companies give you too many options, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this web address, ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
It's the biggest season ever.
Tua said a lot of it is on him, but 2 new offensive coordinators are coming in there. So he now has a new system that he has to now learn before the start of the season. I'm going to be like, are you sure you don't want to talk about Aaron Rodgers?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. The countdown to the NFL season continues. Monday starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
I'm Doug Brown. Game 6 for the Hawks and 76ers tonight in Atlanta. The Hawks can wrap up the series, and our coverage starts at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, TV, and the app. At 10 Eastern, ESPN TV will have Game 6 for the Jazz and Clippers. Clippers lead that series 3-2. Dirk Nowitzki will rejoin the Mavericks as a special advisor in the front office. He'll have a role in hiring the team's new GM and coach. The Celtics trade Kemba Walker and their first-round pick to the Thunder to get Al Horford and Moses Brown. The teams will also swap future picks.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Michael Lee's in for Max once again today. You can hit me on Twitter at Michael Eaves, or also on the phone lines, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed our last segment, Mark Spears joined me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. I asked him this question that I will pose to you as well. Which team on the road tonight in Game 6 is under more pressure to win? The Sixers in Atlanta or the Jazz in L.A.? Now, Mark believes it's the Jazz because he sees a greater ceiling for what that team was supposed to achieve this season. Number one team in the West, have home court advantage, blah, 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 blah. He saw them going to the Western Conference Finals or even the NBA Finals and maybe winning, okay? I didn't see that for them. no disrespect to what they accomplished in the regular season with the number one seed, but going into the playoffs, if you would have posed them for a opponent for the Lakers or the Clippers if everybody was healthy, I don't think many people would have picked the Jazz. At least I would not have, and I don't think Vegas would have either, okay? So that, to me, says a lot about what the expectations are despite your seeding, okay? Secondly, Mike Conley's not played in this series. He's questionable for tonight. Donovan Mitchell's injured. Not sure if he's going to play tonight. So they have more reasons or excuses, whatever you want to call it, to lose tonight. That's just the way it is based on the availability of their best players. And as someone told me today, and I agree heavily, no Mike Conley, no Utah Jazz. And if he can't go and be somewhat similar of himself, I just don't see the Jazz winning that game on the road, even if Kawhi, who's not going to play, doesn't suit up for the Clippers. I just don't see it happening. So that's why I flip it to the East, and I think it is definitely the Sixers who have more pressure on them to win this game on the road than the Jazz. Two reasons why. One, they had big leads in the last two games and blew them, including one of them at home. They have the better team. The Hawks weren't even supposed to be in the second round, right? The expectation that the Hawks at this point in Trae Young's career would be at this point in the postseason, no one thought that coming into this season. It's clear that the Sixers were supposed to be the better team. They've got two all-star players in Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. They've got a coach who's won an NBA championship. The Sixers are supposed to be the better team. They are supposed to have won this series already. If you ask people in Philly, they don't think it should have gone to six games. And based on the leads they had in games 4 and 5, that's a valid argument. So it's clearly more pressure on the Sixers. But here's another larger question looming over this game, this series, and Doc Rivers specifically. Will he be remembered more for postseason collapses or his 2008 title with the Celtics? He's been the head coach for 5 of the 8 largest blown leads in the last 2 postseasons. 5 of the 8 largest blown leads in the last 2 seasons. He's also had multiple 3-1 series leads and lost. Multiple teams. Doc Rivers is a damn good basketball coach. He's a good dude. Everybody loves Doc. Players love Doc as a head coach in terms of the way he treats them and manages, you know, the locker room, so to speak. When he was on television doing media, awesome. But what will his legacy be if he loses another postseason series lead? And for Philly fans, God forbid, if they get another big lead tonight and the Hawks come back and win in the fourth quarter. What will be his legacy? Will it be the postseason collapses or will it be that championship of 2008 with the Celtics? Because these collapses right now in Philly, oh, they hitting hard. They hitting real hard. But as Doc said, they should.
Losses like this sting, and they should. And that's what I told our guys. Like, yeah, they should hurt. And then you get back to film and you work out the things, you see the things you didn't do, and you build them back up, you throw them back out there, and they'll be ready. They have proven to be a very resilient group, so I have no reason to believe they won't be tomorrow.
And that is classic Doc right there. He tells you exactly how it is. It should hurt. He tells you what the solution is. You build them back up, you throw them back out there, and he gives you reason to be hopeful, which is this team has been resilient in the past, and they clearly have to be now because they're going on the road facing elimination. But if you're a Philly fan right now, what is your confidence level? Do you really think they're going to win these last two games based on what you saw from them in their previous two games? And if so, why? Joel Embiid in game four was what, 0 for 12 in the second half? And then we can talk about Ben Simmons all day. And I know he's been getting crushed in Philly. But again, where should your expectation be? Should it be more on Joel Embiid and more on Doc Rivers than it is Ben Simmons? Just because you want Ben Simmons to be a certain player doesn't mean he is that player or capable of being that player, regardless of what he's been paid. His toolbox, his skill set, you've seen it on display for how many years, but now all of a sudden you expect it to be different. If you're a Philly fan, what gives you any confidence right now? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Hit me on Twitter, at Michael Eaves. The NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight for Game 6 as the Hawks host the Sixers, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 7 Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Here's a question for you. Could you spend 24 hours in a Waffle House? No doubt. Coming up, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Michael Eaves in for Max today. You can get at me on Twitter, at Michael Eaves, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Don McLean, Rob Ninkovich joining us in the next hour here, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance.
Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think of this.
No doubt.
Uh-oh. Another edition of No Doubt for your boy, the Max Kellerman Show. Yo, I am in. Raj, hit me. What you got?
All right. First, let's hear from our friend Stephen A. Smith.
I have no problem with change. I think Rick Carlisle needs to be coaching somewhere else, so I'm happy for him, and he's made that decision. But it doesn't dilute the fact that Luka Doncic is not happy. Change needed to be made, and Mark Cuban shouldn't stop there. He better pick the right coach to coach Luka Doncic into the future, and he better find a way to get rid of Kristaps Porzingis because he ain't the secondary star that Luka Doncic needs in Dallas.
All right, and you talked about Dirk joining the front office earlier, Michael. Yep. But, hey, you agree with Stephen A. It was time for a change in Dallas.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
No doubt.
Because, I mean, think about it. So Rick Carlisle had been there for 13 seasons. He won a championship. That was 10 years ago. So much has changed within that organization in terms of player personnel and success, right? You bring in Luka Doncic through the draft, and you've got a focal point for your franchise for the next 15 years if you play it right. But what else do you need to keep this momentum going forward? It has not been what's happening as of late. So, Rick, yeah, great job there. You won a championship. Move on. Donnie Nelson, you were there forever. You brought in Luka. You did some good stuff. Move on. Kristaps Porzingis may have to be moved.
All right.
So, yeah, no doubt on a time for a change.
All right. Hey, Mike, I don't know if you know this, but Paul McCartney turned 79 today.
Damn, for real? Okay.
Yeah, 79. So, playing the bass. So, Michael, you can appreciate the Beatles music.
Is there a middle ground? No, I'm saying no doubt. No doubt. I mean,
no doubt.
Like, you have to remember, like, time and space for certain things, right? What the Beatles did at the time was huge. Now, their influence was American soul music, blues, and R&B, right? But they brought that type of music to an international audience by whatever delivery method they had at the time. So, yes, I can appreciate the Beatles.
Okay. And if Keyshawn, if you're out there listening, you know, Keyshawn agrees with me on this. I thought the Monkees, remember that show? Hey, we're the Monkees.
Yeah.
I thought it was the Beatles, but they changed their name just to do a TV show. Like, it all sounded the same to me. But anyway, that's fine. Hey, let's get to the West Coast now. Hey, DeSean Jackson of the Rams, you know, he's a receiver, and they got Stafford now. They're moving up. He says the Rams offense is going to be scary.
No doubt.
No doubt.
I mean, I was real close to being, nah, son, but here's the deal. Like, mm-hmm. they put up a lot of yards last year. I think they're like 10th or 11th in the NFL in terms of yards per game. But they didn't score a lot, right, relative to the amount of yards they racked up. But you bring in Matthew Stafford, who should be way more steady than Jared Goff was last year. DeSean Jackson has always been a home run threat, a scoring threat. And you look at the other dudes on that roster, Cam Akers, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Tyler Higbee. Yeah, it should be scary. And if it's not scary, maybe Sean McVay's job should be in doubt.
Wow. All right. Last one, man. Last one I want to know. You know, there's a guy, it might have been Atlanta, I forget where it was.
Is it Mississippi?
24 hours. Mississippi. Okay. He had to do 24 hours in a Waffle House for losing at fantasy football. So my question to Mr. Eves is, Michael, could do 24 hours in a Waffle House?
Oh, no diggity, no doubt.
No doubt.
Son, oh, easy, bro. Easy, I could do that. I mean, have you been to a Waffle House, Raj? Do you know just the elegance involved in a greasy spoon that is the Waffle House?
I do. I've been in Atlanta, and there's a lot of other things to view there. It was an interesting experience.
That's what I'm saying, bro. It's not just the food. It's the entertainment. Can you imagine the things you will see within 24 hours at a Waffle House? Now, granted, you got to be at the right Waffle House. Clearly, that's in the southern part of the United States.
Sure.
You can see everything at a Waffle House. You could see a marriage proposal. You could see a drug deal. You could see homework being done. You could see anything at a Waffle House. And, oh, you get to eat waffles. And them hash browns? Man, if you haven't had the hash browns at 2 o'clock in the morning at a Waffle House, you are literally missing out on life. Whether you get them smothered, covered, diced, chopped, topped, whatever, like, you got to have that in your life at least once. So 24 hours in a Waffle House, easy. Easy, son, I could do that. No doubt. No doubt.
No doubt.
And if you haven't been there, people, you need to go to one. I mean, we have people offering us mixtapes because they're going to be up-and-coming rapper to, I mean, just all kinds of stories and characters in a Waffle House.
Man, look, if you've never been to one, I would make a special trip to the South just to go to one. Just to experience what we're talking about. It is literally a part of Southern culture, and if you haven't experienced it, you are clearly missing out. Coming up next here on the Max Kellerman Show, Rob Ninkovich, Don McClain join us. What's up with NFL quarterbacks as rookies not starting when they should be based on the draft position? And can the Clippers get it done tonight without Kawhi? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.